Welcome to the first installment of the podfic version of To Honesty and Comeuppance, an Attack on Titan fanfiction written by myself, Tolstoy Ackerman, aka Juicy Dangler, on AO3. Some readers commented that they liked to listen to the story, so I thought, well, why not read it for them? And here we are. Just some general disclaimers to get out of the way before I begin. 1. I do not own Attack on Titan. I only claim to own the original characters here within. 2. This fic is explicit. Minors, please do not interact. 3. The main pairing in this story is Levi and a female OC. 4. The story covers events from pre-canon all the way to post-canon, with my own tweaks here and there to keep the reader on their toes and for me to have some fun. All right, without further ado, let's get into Chapter 1. Chapter 1, Haggling for Pairs. Levi. Erwin's baritone caused Levi to pause as the other members of the expedition team left his office. They all filed out without a look back, too weary from the survey to feel nosy. Levi felt the fatigue as well. It bunched around the corners of his eyes and made his chest tight. However, he wouldn't allow himself to give in until he was back in his quarters. Levi studied Erwin as everyone else left. Erwin was sitting at the desk with his back straight, blue eyes bright and serious as he took in Levi. Levi hated how well Erwin could hide his thoughts. All he could ever do was wait for him to open his mouth. But when the last person closed the door behind them, Erwin still said nothing. Impatience began to unfurl within Levi. They had been gone for nearly a week on this expedition, and not only was he covered in blood and mud, he had a mission report to write, laundry to do, and his room would need cleaning. The thought of the dust that had accumulated on every surface threatened to make his fingers twitch. "You gonna say something sometime today?" Levi said. "We lost many of our men on this expedition." Levi's already narrow gaze narrowed further. "Surely you didn't hold me back to tell me something everyone already knows." No matter how much Levi sharpened his words or his eyes, they could never pierce Erwin. He continued fixing Levi with his bullet-sharp blue gaze. "No, I didn't. I held you back because I have a favor to ask of you." Levi showed none of his curiosity and waited for Erwin to elaborate. "We're in desperate need of new recruits. I was wondering if you knew of more people in the Undercity who would want to join." Unbidden, Ferlin and Isabel's faces flashed in his mind. How they had looked on that field that day during their first and last expedition. The same fury and impotence he had felt then surged up within him, a great flame locked tight in a boiler. Some of the embers slipped out of the boiler and into his tone. "You want me to go down into that city full of people drowning in filth and offer to pull them out of there if they grab hold of a blade?" Erwin didn't so much as blink. "Precisely." "Erwin, I joined because I had been given a job. And I survived because I'm strong. But these people are desperate enough that they'll throw themselves at a Titan if it means they no longer have to live in that hellhole." Commander Erwin was still unfazed. He knit his fingers together on the desktop, and it was implied that Levi could sit on the other side of the desk, but both of them knew that Levi was in no mood to have a chat. "I'm not looking for Titan fodder, Levi. I'm looking for capable men and women, hardened to the world, ready to do what it takes to gain freedom for humanity. I'm looking for others like you." Levi snorted. "You think people like me are a dime a dozen down there?" "Not at all. You're exceptional. I'm well aware of that. But there must be others in the Undercity who are just as tenacious." Tenacious. There was certainly one person down there that could fight just as viciously as Levi. But whereas Levi had fought for himself and a couple others, this person had chosen to fight for all of the Undercity. Levi couldn't see them leaving the world they had carved out down there, especially if he were the one to ask. "You do know someone," Erwin said, his eyes lighting up. Levi scowled, wondering what had given him away. Erwin had the most irritating habit of seeing right through Levi's poker face. He said, "There is one as good as me, but I don't think she'll want to join us, no matter what we offer her." "A woman? Who is she?" Levi's scowl deepened. "She's got several names. Which one would an upsider know? Himmelsweit, Sunshine, Death Smile, Sabakia." Erwin's eyes widened in shock as he recognized the last two monikers. "Her?" Levi nodded. Erwin had ordered Levi to arrange a meeting with the Sabakia. Levi had argued at every turn, coming up with excuse after excuse as to why it would be a bad idea for her to join the Survey Corps, but there was no deterring Erwin when he had his sights set on something. And this was how Levi found himself walking the squalid streets of the Undercity on a Saturday night in casual clothes, with a knife tucked into the back of his trousers. The crumbling, moldering buildings and people seemed to all be staring at him with a resigned hunger. The only things that didn't pay him any mind were the rats, scurrying down the streets as though they had urgent errands. Levi glared. Why was it that the rats were more lively than the humans down in this shithole? He leaned a shoulder against the rotting door of a pub and stepped inside. It stank of old piss and vomit, stale beer and sweat, the standard bouquet of the Undercity. Men and women and whores filled the place, and it was raucous and grating. Levi walked straight up to the barman, who had been talking with the man at the counter. Oi, barkeep. The man was a whole head taller than Levi, and though most of the people in the Undercity were half-starved and weak, as barkeeper his vocation required him to be able to take out any unruly customer or settle any dispute. It meant fuck all to Levi, though, and his cool gaze was all it took for the man behind the counter to recognize that. I need to get in touch with the Sabakia. Where can I find her? The barkeep laughed. Couldn't tell you, topsider. So quick that the patrons on either side of him could only gasp in reaction, Levi had grabbed the man by his shirt and yanked him over the counter and onto the wet, disgusting stone floor. Barkeepers were information brokers, and all of them worked for her in one way or another. You get word to her that Levi needs to talk to her, and she can write me at the Survey Corps barracks. Levi? He brought a boot down into the man's gut, and he cried out and writhed. The entire pub had fallen silent. Yeah. Levi. You need me to repeat anything else, or did this knock the shit out of your ears? The man held his hands up in defense as he cowered. Perfectly understood. I'm terribly sorry. Levi gave him a long, hard look, and then turned around, went back to the barracks, took a shower, and burned his clothes that reeked of rot and days better left dead. A letter came the following day, in a plain envelope and thin paper. I heard you came all the way down to the Undercity looking for me. Tell me what you want, and drop the envelope off at the pub closest to the barracks. It'll get back to me. Wouldn't want you to have to sully yourself unnecessarily again. Himmel. Levi ran his fingers absently down the words. Her handwriting had improved. He imagined those small, slender hands of hers as she had penned this, and he wondered what she had thought when she learned he wanted to talk to her. Her tone was undeniably cold, but that wasn't a surprise, considering how they had parted. Though he couldn't help but hope she had heard he wanted to talk, and felt the same little thrill that he had when he had opened this letter. He sat down and wrote a reply beneath hers. I've got something to talk with you about. In person. Levi put it back in the same envelope and handed it to the man behind the counter at the nearest inn. Who's it for? The man asked, tucking it into his breast pocket. The Sabakia. The innkeeper's eyes grew wide for a moment. Understood. A couple days later, he got a reply on a fresh sheet of paper. Apples, pears, and tomatoes, discounted for bruises but still edible, down that little market street by the river in Nedley where we used to play with tops. Fresh shipment, 9 baskets of apples, 40 pears give or take, and just 6 tomatoes. Might have to haggle. Levi frowned. It had been a decade since they'd used their stupid codes, but he hadn't forgotten a single one. He looked at her handwriting for a few moments, shredded the paper, and went to tell Erwin that a meeting had been arranged for Wednesday afternoon in the Undercity. Levi hadn't slept Tuesday night. He'd been dismantling and cleaning his gear, and before he knew it, the sun was rising. He spent the whole morning irritated at every smallest thing, drumming his fingers and pacing his quarters. None of this was like him, and he knew it. But it was the first time he'd be seeing her in 12 years. Erwin and Levi set off by carriage from the barracks in Trost and rode towards Walrose. Down an alley there was an easy-to-overlook stairway that descended into darkness. The two of them were incredibly conspicuous with their ODM gear and blades, but at Levi's behest they were without their Survey Corps jackets or capes that would denote their affiliation. If the Sabakia did refuse to listen to them, she wouldn't want anyone to know that she had been in touch with the commander of the Survey Corps and Levi. Levi led Erwin down the long, crumbling stairway and into the belly of humanity. It was just as dim and repulsive as ever, but neither he nor Erwin showed their disgust on their faces. Without a word, they strode down the streets, by filthy, languid children, and rambling madmen, and people waiting for death to take them. Down a side street they turned, and then onto an even smaller, squalid alley that ended in a jagged cave wall. At the very end of the street, butted up against the rock, was a dilapidated two-story inn that was leaning against the wall for support in its old age. When Levi had first read her missive, he had thought that perhaps he had grown rusty with their code. Of all the places they had used, this was one of the worst strategically. It would be all too easy to get cornered here. Though, allowing herself to be cornered was one of the Sabakia's favorite tactics. There's no one easier to kill than the man who thinks he can win. That's what she had told him one night. The alley was quiet. The buildings around them were dilapidated homes, either empty or with people sleeping inside. There were no vagabonds lining this street either, which was a good indicator that the Sabakia was indeed here. "Which meaning of Sabakia is it?" Erwin asked. "A deft handler? A meat dresser? A fixer? One who passes judgment? One who disposes?" Levi snorted, but there was no mirth to be found in the sound or his expression. He opened his mouth to answer, when suddenly a commotion broke out in the two-story building at the end of the alley, a rifle shot, followed by a high-pitched scream. "That fucking idiot," Levi hissed, drawing a blade and rushing into the building and up the stairs. Levi dashed to the top of the stairs and found himself in a large room. All the walls of the second floor had been knocked down to create a structurally unsound but large storage room that was empty but for a table, three chairs, several support beams where the walls had once been, and 20 men and women, armed with rifles and pistols. They were all crowded around the far corner of the room, their backs to Levi and Erwin, and they had to have the Sabakia huddled there in the corner, though Levi couldn't see her. Erwin made to dash in, but Levi held up a blade to block him and put a finger to his lips. If he wanted to see exactly what the Sabakia could do, they couldn't have picked better timing. "Come on, we can all put the guns down," the Sabakia said. Her voice was light, like an afternoon breeze. "Look, I don't even have my swords on me." Levi's eyes widened. Two sheathed swords were on the table on the other side of the room from her. What the fuck was she doing weaponless when she had warned him in the letter that she was expecting an ambush? He had decided to let her handle it, but now he wavered. "You have no idea what lengths we had to go to find out where the fuck you were, you filthy sewer rat. Should have just written me a letter. I always respond within 2 business days. We have had enough of you robbing us blind every month. Since the MPs refuse to take care of you, we're doing it ourselves." The Sabakia laughed, a light, sunny sound that didn't belong down here in the murk. "You ever wondered why the MPs don't have me drawn and quartered even though they're so buddy-buddy with you pigs?" There was a commotion, and some of the men screamed. It was times like this that Levi cursed his height, because he couldn't tell what she had done. But then the Sabakia gave a roar, and all 20 men were shoved back and to the ground. She had ripped a rifle out of a man's arm and had used it as a battering ram to knock all of them off their feet. The Sabakia stood there, looking down on all of them with the biggest smile on her delicate lips, big, childlike emerald eyes glinting like flint just before it started a wildfire. "They've done the math and decided they'd incur too many losses," she grinned, and shoved the barrel of the rifle against the chest of the nearest man and pulled the trigger. From there, things moved very quickly. Men were aiming their guns from where they lay on the floor and firing at her. Others were scrambling to their feet. The Sabakia was, in a word, reveling. Time had made the edges of Levi's memories with her soft. Had she always moved this quickly? This gracefully? This ruthlessly? She was wrenching guns out of people's arms, breaking their hands and ripping their arms out of their sockets in the process, and instead of firing them, she used them as melee weapons. She swung the rifles like maces, bashing people in the heads and guts before throwing them away and using her hands and feet. Despite being an entire 10 centimeters shorter than Levi, just one of her punches was enough to send a man the size of Erwin flying back and slamming into the far wall, where he slumped unconscious. One knee to the crotch, and men and women alike dropped. But with 20 men, it was impossible to avoid being hit. She took a rifle butt to the chest, and she grunted as she held her footing. In the next moment, she had reached out and pulled the trigger, which led to a very unfortunate outcome for the person who had hit her with it. The Sabakia took a few steps back and broke into a dash. Just before she was about to collide with a man running at her with his fist raised, she tipped forwards into a handstand and used her momentum to spring into the air and soar over all the other standing men. She landed with her palms over her sword sheaths on the table and righted herself. "And I think this is where the fun ends for you," she said. The 10 standing men's faces blanched. There wasn't a single person who didn't know about the Sabakia's swords and what she could do with them. They were peculiar swords, nothing like the ones used by the military, and not like the sabers used by knights in fairy tales. They were curved oh so slightly, and the blades were made of thick, nigh indestructible material. They were the Sabakia's most cherished possessions in the entire world. Some of them screamed and tried to run, but she threw her sheaths like spears, and the heavy metal projectiles hit 2 men in the head and knocked them out. The room glinted with silver as she shot off the table and at the remaining 8 men that she slashed fatally in the stomachs, chests, and necks. Blood splattered all over the warehouse floors and walls, and pained screams and choking gurgles and seizing limbs were the only things that could be heard as the Sabakia stood in the aftermath. She turned to look at Levi and Erwin, one drop of someone's blood running thickly down her cheek as she smiled warmly. "Long time no see, Levi. A pleasure to meet you, Commander Erwin." "What the fuck is all of this?" Levi demanded. The Sabakia drove the tip of her blade into the heart of a man clutching at his slashed throat, and he grew still. She went to every single body in the room and did the exact same thing no matter whether they were alive or dead, always spearing their hearts with those peculiar swords. As she did so, she answered, "They look like Reeves Company men. Guess old man Demo got sick of me. And I had this place so clean for you before they showed up. Give me a few moments to tidy up." Erwin and Levi watched from the door as she grabbed the corpses of 2 grown men and hurled them out the window onto the street. She did this with all of them but one, which she dragged downstairs to the first floor, out of sight for their meeting. Erwin and Levi sheathed their swords and stepped aside so she could finish her macabre task. Outside, Levi could see through the window as a few people emerged from the surrounding buildings. They gave a little salute up to the second floor and began carrying the bodies off to places no one would ever seek out, and Levi marveled for a moment at what a smooth operation she had in place. She came back up the stairs and took a black bandana out of her pocket. With it, she wiped the streak of blood from her face and then cleaned both of her blades before sheathing them and affixing them to her hips, and then she gestured to the miraculously unharmed table and chairs. "Please, have a seat. I'll make us some tea. I got some water from topside just for this occasion." Erwin and Levi sat and watched as she started a fire in the rudimentary oven and put a new kettle over the flame. While her back was turned to him, Levi took her in. She hadn't grown a single millimeter in their time apart, and she still had that strangely slender, unmuscular build that hid the immense strength she had. Her outfit was the same utilitarian ensemble it had been for most of their lives: tight black trousers with knee-high steel-toed leather boots, and a black button-up shirt with black undershirt that he could just make out between the spaces of the straining buttons. She still had tits bigger than any woman in the Undercity, where body fat was in low supply. When she turned around to place 3 cups of steaming tea before them, Levi stole a glance at her face. The Sabakia looked just as she had the last time he'd seen her a decade ago. She could have passed for 18, with her fresh, glowing countenance, large and inquisitive green eyes, and an easy, close-mouthed smile that never wavered. A large black bandana obscured all of her hair so that he couldn't see a single strand, and he wondered if she'd remove it during this meeting. She gave a little sigh and took a clean bandana out of her pocket to tie around the lower half of her face, hiding her smile. "Again, apologies for the rough start to our meeting. I hope you don't mind that I cover my mouth. People say it's unsettling. Please, call me Himmel." Erwin was staring at her as though she were a star no one had yet plotted in the constellations. He asked, "You don't like to go by the Sabakia?" She made an amused sound and said, "Himmel's my favorite." She reached up to her nape to untie the black bandana, and the entire room was veritably aglow. Even Erwin's mouth dropped open slightly. Levi had yet to see another person in all of humanity who had hair like hers. No doubt Hanji would want to study it if given the chance. She seemed to have 3 or even 4 times as much hair as the average person, a great mass of shimmering golden curls to the middle of her back. Here, in this dark undercroft, it was the closest thing to sunlight that many would ever get. "I see now why they call you Sunshine as well," Erwin said. There was a smile in Himmel's eyes as she twirled a curl around a finger. "I understand that you have business with me, Commander Erwin. Levi said in his letter that he wanted to talk to me, but if that were the case, he wouldn't have brought you along. Though I can't imagine why the commander of the Survey Corps could want to talk to me. I don't trouble the military." Erwin took a perfunctory drink of tea. "You're extremely careful not to attract the ire of any military branch. Why the MPs haven't hunted you down yet remains just as much a mystery." "As illogical as it may be, I think someone in the MPs is looking out for me," Himmel said. "Or they really did do the math and decided against it." Levi had a hard time believing this. The MPs looked out for their own, and everything that Himmel did directly affected all of their many side dealings. She had to have cost them fortunes over the last 15 years. "I attempted to look into you, but you proved quite enigmatic," Erwin said. "I did some digging before our meeting as well. Humor me. What information did you find out about me?" "Your real name is Himmel Zweit. You're approximately 32 years old, and your past before the age of 7 is completely unknown, as is your parentage. You and Levi ran together until shortly before he joined the Survey Corps. You made a name for yourself by stealing from merchants and nobles, giving everything to the people in the Undercity in times of difficulty, and by the time you were 25, you managed to take over all of the Undercity. You're benevolent to the people down here, but you are utterly ruthless to anyone who opposes you. You're known for stabbing each of your victims through the heart. You seem to operate alone, but even after today's impressive display, I don't see how one person could take on as many opponents at once as you have without being seriously injured or caught." The Sabakia's green eyes were bright and warm. "I offer my heart to the people." Levi watched Erwin and the Sabakia's gazes meet, and he saw the exact same flames burning within them both. They were flames that could either bring light to the entire world, or reduce it to cinders. Suddenly, Levi felt that perhaps having these two meet each other had been a terrible mistake. "What did you manage to find out about the Survey Corps?" Erwin asked. He didn't sound concerned. He was genuinely curious. "You, Commander Erwin, were selected by the former commander to take charge of the Survey Corps at a rather young age. Your father was a teacher, and you seem to have inherited his curiosity and quick wits. You're perhaps the best orator humanity has ever seen. Some say you could convince a man to drink hog piss in the name of humanity. Others say you used your men as though they were just as replaceable as those Titan blades you use. The Survey Corps is stretched thin because you must focus not only on establishing a supply line to Wall Maria to plug it, but also because you must dispatch men to run food and other essential supplies to the civilians forced to live in the other three Wall Maria cities, where the ore mining must be continued at all costs. In the last expedition, you lost 62% of your men, which was considered better than average, and it was only a couple of days after your team returned, bloody and bedraggled, that Levi contacted me for the first time in over a decade." How the hell had she managed to learn the casualty numbers? Levi scrutinized her and the pleasant smile she showed in her eyes when she was dealing with the stranger. Himmel was easily the most secretive person he had ever known. She had never revealed half of the information she held, and if she could say this much about the Survey Corps, she had to know even more. Her warm expression dropped, and her eyes turned sharp as daggers as she continued staring at Erwin. "It doesn't take a genius to see that the Survey Corps is struggling and you're headhunting." Erwin was just as immune to Himmel's harsh looks as he was to Levi's. He even had the hint of a smile on his face after seeing how much secret information she had obtained on them. He said, "And if you'll humor me once more, Himmel, may I guess what it is that you want? Want so badly that you'll kill hundreds and wear the name Sabakia gladly?" Himmel tacked her smile back on when she realized that intimidation wouldn't work. "Please, be my guest. You suffered here in the Undercity. Everything you do, each robbery, each murder, each heist, you do to help the people down here, giving them food, clothing, medicine, and hope that they otherwise wouldn't have. What you want is the safety and happiness of the Undercity. Am I correct?" Her fingers drummed on the table. "I don't know how I feel about a milk-fed upsider laying it out like a tablecloth, but yes, that is accurate." "What if I told you there was a way for you to bring these people down here hope that would last longer than a warm meal? What if I told you that you could help get all of these people out of the Undercity and give them homes up above?" "Levi." Himmel gave him a sharp look. "I knew that the MPs were rotten to the core, but I didn't know that the Survey Corps was full of idiots." Erwin isn't an idiot. He's the only man I'll obey. Levi saw her eyes widen as she realized the importance of this. But it's easy to write him off as an idiot when he starts the conversation by talking about the end goal, rather than what's at our fingertips. Mel, he wants you to join the Survey Corps. What? Fight with us. Help us retake the land beyond the walls, and when the Titans are no more, we'll have enough land for everyone here to leave the Undercity and be free. That's... You're talking decades of battles that we have no promise of ever coming to an end, she said. I respect the Survey Corps immensely. You risk your lives for all of us, and you, more than anyone else, carry the hope of humanity on your shoulders. But I don't know if I could kill a Titan. I don't know if I could work in a team. I don't know if I could take orders. And I don't know if there will ever be an end to the fighting unless I'm eaten by one of those things. What I do know is that there are people here, right now, all around me, that need my help. And I know that I can help them. Erwin's brows knit. Hers was a perfectly reasonable counterview. But Levi, who had now lived in the Undercity and above, knew what needed to be said. He could change her mind. He could bring her over to their side. He could have her leaving with them before the kettle had cooled. Yet, he hesitated. If she joined the Survey Corps and she was killed, would he be able to bear that burden? He never knew the answers to these questions, but he could never stop asking them to himself. Mel, I know it's been a long while since you and I spoke. Living down here, all you can think about is today. If you're lucky, maybe you can afford the luxury of thinking about tomorrow. That's always been the way of the Undercity. But once you get up top, and you get to breathe air that doesn't reek of piss and shit and death, and once you get to feel the sun hit your face and see the stars light up the sky at night, something inside you changes, and you start to think about the future. About the world. About finding solutions instead of stopgaps. What Erwin's saying may sound like a load of bullshit to people like us, but I believe in him. I believe in us. Himmel leaned back in her chair, and it squeaked. It was the only sound in the room. Her grass-green eyes were on the teacup, and Levi could see her thoughts moving a mile a minute. So, you would have me join the Survey Corps, because I'm good at killing. You'd see just how many of the Titans I can kill for you. And if I kill enough, if the Survey Corps accomplishes enough, my people can be free. Yes, Erwin said. He had never been about pretenses, and it was especially wise that he hide nothing from Himmel. You've seen the number of people in the Undercity increase after the fall of Wall Maria, I'm sure. If the Titans encroach any further, it will spell death for those here, whether it be by starvation or sickness or forceful expulsion. They wouldn't dare, Himmel said. They would. They sent out a number of the elderly from Wall Maria a couple months ago to lessen the number of mouths to feed, Levi said. That's how the government treated the upsiders. How do you think their treatment of us will be in comparison? For the first time, her gaze became clouded with concern. It's been getting harder to steal enough goods to feed and clothe the ones who need it more ever since Wall Maria fell. It's everything we can do to stave off disease and starvation. When winter hits, I... The cogs were turning. She was beginning to think like an upsider, thinking beyond today and tomorrow, thinking of more than just her own little world. If I agree to join the Survey Corps, how will it work? What will happen? Levi says that you're very capable with ODM gear. Is that true? I stopped using it when I got these swords, but I remember how. We would perform a few tests to measure your hypothetical performance against a Titan, and if you do well enough, you'd be added to the Survey Corps immediately. Whoa, 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 Himmel said, shaking her head. That sounds an awful lot like preferential treatment. Levi, is that what they did when you joined? He scowled. The reasons were different, but I'm not going to be treated differently. I'm going to be treated just like any other would-be soldier. I won't tolerate being looked down on for being from the Undercity, and I won't tolerate being given special treatment because of it either, under any circumstance. But we need as many capable people as soon as possible, Levi said. And now who's only thinking about today? Himmel asked. Levi gave her a furious snarl and opened his mouth, but Erwin cut him off in his irritatingly calm, rational tone. You want to work your way up through training, going the traditional route. That's admirable. It can be arranged. Training's 3 years, Mel, and you won't be allowed to come back here once during the entire time. She suddenly looked lost. It seemed that she had had the ridiculous idea that she could keep up this life and be a soldier at the same time. Then who will...
Someone always fills in an empty spot. That's how it works down here, Levi said.
Though, truthfully, he wasn't sure that anyone would be able to do what she had done as well. And she had to know it, too.
The training. When does it start?
6 months from now, Erwin answered.
She sighed. She drank all of her tea in a long gulp. She looked to the blood pools on the floor from the men she had killed. And then she looked back up to meet Erwin and Levi's eyes.
6 months will allow me to train up some people to take my place down here, but I have three conditions, and they are ironclad.
Name them, Erwin said.
I want you to leverage whatever power you have to help the people in the Undercity in any way you can. And I imagine you're not allowed to bring your own weapons into the military, so I'll need someone to look after my swords. Lastly, I refuse to cut my hair.
The Survey Corps has the least amount of clout of all three military branches, Erwin said, but I will do what I can. Levi can keep your swords. As for your hair, you'll have to fight your commanding officers on that.
Those swords aren't darkening my doorstep if they're filthy, Levi warned her.
Himmel's eyes were bright once more and she laughed.
Please, I still remember your standards.
She turned back to Erwin and extended a hand that he shook without hesitation.
I can't say I'm looking forward to this partnership yet, but I am looking forward to the chance to free my people from this pit. You can count on me.
Thank you, Himmelsweit. I'm sure that you'll prove to be a boon to humanity.
The two men rose to leave, but before they could go, Himmel asked to have a word alone with Levi.
Erwin headed downstairs to the empty first floor, but Levi stood by the stairway, arms crossed and expression guarded as Himmel crossed the room and stood mere centimeters from him. The last time they were in a room alone together was 12 years ago.
She had dropped the warm expression she had worn for Erwin, and now she showed Levi her full bewilderment.
Levi, after all these years, why now?
I don't know what you're talking about, he said.
Fuck off. You ditch me, you and your pals vanish topside, and then it's only you, drinking in the sunshine every day, becoming humanity's strongest soldier. Now you waltz down here with your fancy topsider boss wanting to drag me into this mess? Why? Why me, and why now?
What I did back then, I did for my own reasons, and I don't need to explain them, Levi bit out. But when you get up there, you'll see for yourself that we need every strong person fighting for humanity, now more than ever. And you're the only one I trust to do what needs to be done.
Himmel stood there, shock in her wide, expressive eyes.
She probably felt just as much surprise as Levi did, honestly. He had forgotten how he had a stupid tendency to open his mouth more when she was around.
He started heading downstairs, not bothering to look back at her. I'll be back in 6 months' time to collect you and your swords, he said.
Erwin was waiting for him in the shadows of the doorway, smiling wide.
It's not often that your words are more persuasive than mine.
Levi rolled his eyes and led them topside, already thinking of the next time he'd see her again.